Revelation chapter 6 today, and we're learning about living responsibly in Christ. Paul had some doubts concerning the salvation of the Galatians, but he's instructed them, and hopefully they won't follow the false teachers. And he still calls them brothers, and he does that in chapter 6. He's talking in terms, like he does in a lot of his epistles, how to live out the Christian faith. And I think it basically came down to this. If they had given in to the Judaizers and receive circumcision, then the Judaizers wouldn't have persecuted them. When I was coming along, I got persecuted because I wouldn't admit that there were mistakes and errors in the Bible. And that's when they call you stinky names and they don't let you play in the treehouse with them. But to be perfectly honest, I didn't have a choice. If God can create 1,000 billion galaxies, he can write a book without losing half the text. I've got a secretary, in a bad week, that secretary could take a book with 66 chapters and burn it to CD and send it to every major city in this country. And what these people are trying to tell me is that the God who created everything can't do what my secretary can do in a bad week. Their God is too small. My God can spell. He can write a book. Like I used to say, theological liberal can write a book. God can write a book. God can create 1,000 billion galaxies, and the liberal can write a book. We look at living responsibly, and we start out, we need to bear our burden and share the burdens of others. Okay, so he says in chapter 6, verse 1, brethren. Now notice he calls them brethren. That's significant. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, show up and beat him over the head with an altar-sized King James Bible. No? You mean the church isn't supposed to shoot the wounded? No. He says, if a man is overtaken, and that word means surprised, if he's overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, lovingly restore men's bones. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, in a spirit of meekness, not a haughty, judgmental spirit, notice. With a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, Satan, working through people over the course of history, the Nazi snipers in World War II, would not kill the first man in the platoon that was entering the village. They would wound him. And then when the medic ran to his assistant, they'd kill both of them. Satan doesn't just want to destroy the one who's down. He wants to destroy the one who goes to help. The terrorists now, will set two bombs. One is intended to maim or kill as many people as possible. And they use ball bearings and things like that. They pack the bomb. But they set another one in the immediate vicinity because when the first responders come to the aid of the victims, they want to take them out. Now, this is satanic, all right? Satan knows his time is short. He's not playing fair. He's already lost. So he doesn't care anything about you or about the ones you're trying to help. So you go on a spiritual mission to restore such a one in a gentle spirit. Now, that's what church discipline is ultimately intended to be, restorative. But you need to consider yourself lest you be tempted also, because Satan would dearly love to take you both out. All right? He says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, this is the law of love. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he's deceiving himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Now, at first, you look at this, and it looks as if there's a contradiction. There's not. It says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And in verse 5, it says each one shall bear his own burden. That's not a contradiction. Why? Because they're two different words. In verse 2, it says bear one another's burden, and that burden means crushing load. You are carrying. And the idea is to carry over a long distance a load that would crush another, and you're helping that person to make it. In verse 6, each one shall shoulder his own pack. The idea is each soldier has a pack, and it isn't a crushing burden. It's light enough to carry. You go on a hike, and you take the equipment that you'll need for that hike. It's a day pack, all right? Each one shall shoulder his own pack. Now, spiritually, we're to travel light. We aren't running the race. You don't run a marathon with the TV between your knees, right? I mean, that would be counterproductive, and you'd probably lose. See, a lot of us trying to run the spiritual life with TV between our knees or some sin burden that we need to leave at the foot of the cross, and we keep carrying it, and Christ has released us from it, and we keep picking it up, all right? Each one shall shoulder his own pack. There's a certain load that God intends you to carry. Now, this isn't a crushing burden. This is something you can handle. But, think in military terms, you got somebody who's incapable of carrying some crushing load he's got. Well, that's when you go to hell. And that's what verse 2 is about. Go on carrying one another's crushing burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. I would imagine Paul is thinking about the false teachers, the Judaizers. They are puffing themselves. You know, there are people in this world who can strut sitting down. And Paul is sort of deflating this. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he's deceiving himself. But let each one examine his own work. And the word examine means to, is not hypercritical spirit. It's you're examining your own work to prove it genuine. And he says, let each examine his own work. Now, if it is, if it's passed the test, okay, if it's done in Christ, if it glorifies Christ, if it's done in the power of the Holy Spirit, then he will have rejoicing. And underline in himself alone, that is being emphasized in the original, and not in another, for each one shall shoulder his own path. Okay, there are people that you can witness to, that you can reach, that nobody else can reach, for whatever reason, and you need to be obedient. Okay, God put you in that place for a reason, and you are to accomplish your mission. If you don't know what it is, ask the Lord. He'll show you. All right, so number one, bear and share the burdens. Number two, be generous and do good. In verse 6, he says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things, and underline in all good things, with him who teaches. In the context, that would mean the true pastors. And in the case of the Galatians, those people in those little churches, they were giving for the Jerusalem relief offering and helping James and his guys down in Jerusalem. It's basically support your pastors here. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Now, as far as the Judaizers are concerned, this is coming from the flesh, not from God. Okay? He who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap decay, rot, corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And I think that loops back around and goes back to verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. That's reaping everlasting life. You're not earning your salvation. Christ earned it for you. Okay? But you're showing the world that that salvation is real. Okay? And let us not grow weary while doing good. Now, the word grow weary means to give up. To give in, to fall by the side of the road and just to collapse. Okay? In due season, we will reap if we do not give up, despair. It means to slacken the bow. You've got in a battle, you've got a bow. And you slacken it, and the string falls off, and you sit down, and you're ready to be captured by the enemy. Ekluo, give up. How many people have you known who started well and did a lot of things and then just gave up? Something happened, and they just gave up. You never see them. Okay, just quit. He says, let us not grow weary in doing good. You know why he wrote that? You know why the Holy Spirit led him to write that? Because some people, if they don't get enough pats on the back, they just give up. They grow weary and give up. He's writing this because people have a tendency to do this. Let us not become discouraged while doing good. You see all the bad and you say, well, what I'm doing doesn't make any difference. Poor me. All right? Jesus didn't say that. Paul didn't say that. Elijah said it under the juniper tree. He said, I'm the last one, and they're trying to kill me. Wrong, Elijah. All you have to do is go down on the main highway, and Jezebel will take you out. You hiding up under a juniper tree. There's a shopping mall there now where people are worshiping Baal in their own way. But God said, I've still got 7,000 people hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah said, poor me. And I respect Elijah, but he didn't have to eat crow. He had to eat what the ravens brought. That was takeout, you understand? For in due season we will reap if we don't give up. Therefore, reap what? What will we reap if we don't give up? Huh? Heaven, reward, God's reward. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. All right? So, we're to do good to whom? Everybody. Our enemies? Yeah? The ones who hate us? The way who's... say stinky things about us on Twitter. People say, are you on Twitter? And I say, no, I'm not a twit. But everything that's on Twitter isn't tweet. Do we do good to those who don't deserve it? Well, God did good to us, and we didn't deserve it. Especially, he singles out, especially those who are the household of faith. See, you do good to those in the church. The world is looking in and wondering what it is they're missing. Because if they miss Jesus, they miss everything. So doing good to those who are the household of faith is a given. It's surprising that Paul has to remind them, but remember these people's spiritual babies. We're to do good to all. Where our love should overflow into the community. Number three, glory in the cross. Now, the cross was an instrument of torture. It was reserved for non-Romans. It was a long, lingering death. The Romans did not invent it, but they did most definitely improve it. I think they probably got it from the Spaniards or the Carthaginians, but they perfected it. It was an ugly thing. When I was in the Jim Fleming Institute in Jerusalem, they had a crucifixion site set up. And the thing I remember about it was how ugly it was. There were three trees that had been stripped of their branches, and they were about maybe as high as this wall. And the root system was holding it up. The Romans aren't going to whittle out three perfectly shaped 4x4s and do a cross piece and paint it and put it up. They're not going to do that. They would pull you up just high and then they would nail you through the ankles, and they would nail you to a crossbar. They would leave you there for days. And they'd put over your head the charge against you so everybody else will see this is what happens to somebody. Okay? It was actually psychological warfare. I mean, you know, I know I've said this before, but if you're driving into Rollsville and you see a teenager nailed to a tree, and then over his head, and you know the ravens are plucking out his eyes, and over his head it says he didn't have his seatbelt buckled. And then you go about 20 yards and you see somebody else nailed up there who's been hanging there for a couple of weeks, and it's like Halloween on steroids, and it says he was going 5 miles over the speed limit. Do you think everybody would buckle their seatbelt and go the speed limit in Roseville? Well, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. The Romans do this to non-Romans so that everybody can see and fear doing something against the Roman Empire. Okay? It's psychological. And the Jews hated the cross. It was a sign of despised foreign domination. That's why they would knife tax collectors. Interestingly, Jesus had a zealot and a tax collector with him among his disciples. Simon, the Canaanite, Zelotes, and Matthew. Well, there's something new. The zealots were the ones that killed the tax collectors. The tax collectors were the ones who robbed everybody. He says, see with what large letters I have written to you in my own hand. Paul has taken the pen away from the amanuensis, the scribe, and he's writing this verse in his own handwriting. And he's writing large. And this is a sign of authenticity. See with what letters I have written to you in my own hand. We've got the mark of a genuine apostle behind this letter, the Apostle Paul. As many who as desire to make a good impression in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. See, that's the reason people in seminaries and in institutions across the land make fun of God, so they won't be persecuted by the world. That's why they say that there are mistakes in the Bible, or that the book of Genesis is to be taken as poetry or figuratively, and there was no Adam, there was no Eve. They don't want to be persecuted by the world. Okay? And you know what I say? 6-day creation, inerrancy, infallibility, and I say to the world, bring it. You cannot kill me. I'm already dead. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. In the beginning, God created them male and female. Now, an authority in New York has said there are three genders. God says two. I'm going with God. They will persecute me. Bring it. Bring it. He says, even those who are circumcised themselves do not keep the law. If you're going to keep the law, how much have you got to keep? All of it. Who hasn't kept the law? Everyone. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. One exception. Christ. One exception. All right? Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. So they're saying, well, you know, we're teaching like Paul, And he said, okay, if I was still teaching the same thing, E.P. Sanders, call your agent, if I was teaching the same thing, I would not be persecuted. All right, now. Lashes. This is Paul's back. Okay? Now, you need to do this 4 more times because he was lashed 5 times. 39 lashes. Now, that is the mark of a believer, not circumcision. That. He's 2 Corinthians 23-30. 5 times he received 39 lashes in the synagogues. 3 times he was beaten with lictor's rods by the Romans. 3 times he was shipwrecked and left for dead in the ocean. Once he was stoned and left for dead. And once he spent a day and night floating in the sea. And when you float in the Mediterranean Sea, you got these Medusas, which are kind of like Portuguese men of war. You have sharks. You have whale sharks that basically eat plankton and an occasional Hebrew prophet. He says, but God forbid, verse 14, that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world worships sex and drugs and rock and roll. The world worships the prince of the power of the air. And you are free in the world's eyes to say anything you want to about Christians. You are free to blaspheme God. Even the cartoonists of South Park declare that it's open season on Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus won't retaliate. Okay, he won't chop their hands off. So they will say all kinds of things against you falsely, but they won't say anything about Muhammad or his followers because they fear them. And they have made common cause with people. Okay? Now, the liberals, they don't have a problem with the Muslims. And they don't have a problem with the gays, but the Muslims are the ones who kill gays by throwing them off 3-story buildings on their heads. Okay? So it's just a matter of time. They'll come after you too. You understand? Jesus said, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be rescued. The prosperity gospel people leave that verse out. They do like Pollyanna. They just leap from happy verse to happy verse. Okay? They don't use this verse. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Okay? He says, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross. What? The cross. That's not a piece of jewelry. That's an instrument of torture. You might as well wear a little golden electric chair around your neck. a little silver noose around your neck. It's an instrument of torture, a very cruel instrument of torture, by the way. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross. Why does he glory in the cross? Because of what was done there. Where God's wrath against sin was grounded on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, our sins are heaped on Christ on that cross, and they've already been judged. And when he looks at us, he sees his righteousness imputed to us. That which we could have never earned because we don't have enough blood in our body to atone for that. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, Christ, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. What matters is if you've accepted Christ and he has made you a new creation. That's what matters. Now, usually, when Paul gets to this place in a letter, what he'll do is he will give a blessing on the church. But he doesn't give a blessing on the whole church. He gives a blessing to as many as walk according to this standard. See, there are people in the church who are about to follow the Judaizers and get circumcised so that they'll quit persecuting them. He doesn't wish a blessing on them. He says, as many as walk according to this rule. What rule? Look at the context. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but what counts? A new creation. As many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. These people want to become Jews so that they won't be persecuted by these unregenerate Jews, all right? He's saying, you know, there is such a thing as a believing remnant of the Jews. Elijah found out. There were 7,000 who had not bowed the knee. Okay, he says, as walk according to this rule, for the Gentiles, that is a new creation. You don't have to be circumcised. You're saved. You're a new creation. And upon the Israel of God. He's talking about James's guys, the Jews who are sincerely believers. From now on, let no one trouble me. Let no one cause me trouble, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, notice he said it again. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul always begins and ends with grace. Unmerited favor. Undeserved favor from God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Your is plural. Spirit is singular. Amen. And that's the way he ends. All right? What do we make of this? Well, we should help others. And if you see somebody with a crushing burden, you should go the extra mile and help them. You know what going the extra mile really means in context? You're in your village and the Roman army is marching through, all right? The Roman army is carrying 90-pound packs, okay? And they're marching a double pace, 1,000 double paces, a melee, 1,000 is a mile. and they say, you, I want you to pick up this pack and carry it 1 mile. And the Jews would pick up the pack, put it on, and they would walk with the Roman for 1,000 double paces. They would throw it down, stomp their feet, and then they'd walk a mile back. Jesus is saying, if anybody impresses you to carry his pack 1 mile, go with him too. That means to walk alongside for 2,000 paces, double paces, carrying a 90-pound pack. And then when you're finished, you have to walk the same distance back to your village. It's 4 miles round trip. We are to help others with their burdens, their crushing loads. We are to carry our own pack. You've got a burden that only you can carry. Nobody else can carry it for you. You've got a race to run that no one can run but you. Now, interestingly, we don't get participation trophies. We get trophies, we get honors from Christ, but we're going to throw those at his feet. Okay, we're not doing it for the trophy. We're doing it for the Lord because we love him. And so we are to carry our own load. We are to share with those who teach us in all good things. And we're not to give up. We're not to quit. We're to do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. This unconditional love that John would say is a distinguishing mark for the church. Well, he's not the first one. Jesus did. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Now, he finishes the book of Galatians by calling them brethren. If they get circumcised and follow off after the legalists, the Judaizers, they're not brethren. And they don't get peace and mercy. They have to keep the whole law or they are under a curse. They are slaves to the law. They're following their lower nature. And there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. See, that's a Christmas verse that nobody understands. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men. On earth, peace toward men with whom he is pleased. He was pleased with those shepherds because they did what they were told to do. They didn't earn their salvation that way, but they're spreading the message. And they're spreading it so well that everybody's hearing it, okay? There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And on earth, peace toward men with whom he is pleased. And the one with whom he's pleased is Jesus. And the one who is in Jesus. To the true gospel of Jesus Christ. They needed to follow the Spirit. They needed to follow the Spirit-filled apostle. And they needed to glorify Christ in making their love visible to all. Help the same be said of us. Help us to grow up in Christ. Further his kingdom. Further your kingdom. And glorify Christ. James. Book
book of James.